The Nazis did not invent the term provider as a way to denigrate Jewish doctors, and we need to stop repeating this. So on today's episode, we speak with the authors of the article in the Journal of General Internal Medicine entitled "Physicians or Providers? Inventing Nazi Origins Undermines Debates on Medical Professionalism." Dr. Volke Rocke is a German historian of medicine and the biomedical sciences whose work focuses on 20th century medicine, especially medicine under the Nazi regime, and the ethical history of human subject research. He trained in medicine and later completed specialist training in psychiatry before moving into academic medical history. And for over 20 years, he served as professor of the history of medicine and director of the Institute for the History, Theory, and Ethics of Medicine at Justus Liebig University, Gießen, before retiring last year. And he was a member and briefly co-chair of the Lancet Commission on Medicine, Nazism, and the Holocaust. We also have Dr. Michael Raz, who's the Charles E. and Dale L. Phelps Professor in Public Policy and Health at the University of Rochester, where she also works as an internal medicine physician at Strong Memorial. Her grandfather left Berlin for Israel in 1933, and most of his family perished in the Holocaust. She teaches undergraduates about insurance and how it works and doesn't work. And insurance is actually where the term provider originates. She's published extensively on the imperative to protect children and families from coercive child welfare interventions and harms and conflating poverty with neglect. Her books include The Lobotomy Letters, The Making of American Psychosurgery, What's Wrong with the Poor, Race, Psychiatry, and the War on Poverty, Abusive Policies, How the American Child Welfare System Lost Its Way, and Making Families, Adoption and Child Welfare in the 1990s. You're listening to Succeed in Medicine, the show for practicing physicians who want to master the parts of their career and life that med school never prepared us for. From interpersonal skills to career navigation to the essential information every physician needs. I'm Dr. Bradley Block, and in every episode, we bring you brass tacks advice and immediately applicable insights from world-class experts so you can feel prepared wherever your MD takes you and build a life in medicine that's sustainable, rewarding, and actually worth all those years of sacrifice. Dr. Volke Rocke and Dr. Michael Raz, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I never thought I'd be billed as an expert on this unique topic, but I'm delighted to be here and talk about it.
Well, yes,
me too. Thank you.
And we spoke about that before recording, that doctors, we often think like, well, I'm not the subject matter expert because I didn't write the penultimate textbook on the subject. But that being said, like, you wrote the penultimate article that really debunks this misinformation. And so I think it's really important. You know, you thought it was important enough to set the record straight in that article. And unfortunately, once misinformation is out there, it's an order of magnitude greater to rid the world of that misinformation. So unfortunately, there's still a lot more work to do.
That's true. I was like, I wish I never had to write this article. Like, how is this even a thing? But I want to have this article out and to get the word out. And I appreciate you having us here to keep on talking about this, because it seems to be a myth that doesn't want to be put to rest. We just cannot, you know, make this stop.
So let's do our best to do it. So let's just start with, what are the actual origins of the term provider?
It's such a basic question. Like, you provide service and you get paid for it. It's nothing nefarious. There's like, people are reading way too much into this. But when we started practicing medicine in the United States and medicine evolved as a profession, initially it was kind of a hang a shingle kind of profession. A doctor opens a clinic, they take a chicken, they take a bag of potatoes, and they provide service in return for that. And by the 30s, we see the rise of early insurance schemes, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and different forms of third-party payments for care. And this obviously changes completely when we have Medicare and Medicaid that pass in 1965. And so we need terms to talk about the interactions and the transactions that occur between those who provide a service, those who use a service, and the third party that pays for a service. And that's when you see a lot more usage of the term healthcare providers. And I think it's kind of obvious, and you provide a service and you get paid for it. These are big institutions like, you know, hospitals or nursing homes and so on, and they're facilities, and they bill and they get paid for the services they provide. So here we're talking about providers. And I had a little look, and I love old newspapers. I was looking at old newspapers. And even in the 30s and 40s and 50s, you could find here and there referrals to healthcare providers, because this is just a usual way to use words in the English language.
Yes, we're physical therapists, provide care. Dentists provide care. Physicians, nurses, physicians' assistants, nurse practitioners, right? We're all providing care. We're providing a service. And now I understand that I'm going to get off topic for a second, but I think the term doctor is now, like, because everyone can get a doctorate in anything. And so now the term doctor has been a bit diluted. And I think this is where, you know, the term provider also, it feels like our expertise is being diluted. So I get where they're coming from, but this is not what this interview is supposed to be about, but it kind of is. Like,
sure.
What have you heard? Like, what's been the pushback? Why is this term such a four-letter word?
Well, I think we like to think about ourselves as being kind of remote from the prosaic day-to-day concerns. We do this for the love. It's a calling. We're not regular people who go to regular jobs and get paid. When, of course, we are. Like, we do both things. Being a doctor is a calling. It's my dream job. I feel a privilege to be a doctor. And also, you know, this is how I feed my children. It's a job. I provide a service and I get paid for it. And if we pretend that part is not happening, we're living in a fantasy land. But historically, there weren't all these physician assistants and there weren't so many people providing care. So when people started using the term healthcare provider in the 60s, it was mostly for hospitals, for big institutions, and for individual doctors. And that's a reflection of how insurance worked, because you had two kinds of insurance. You had the hospital insurance, and then you had the individual doctor pay insurance. And that's why you had Blue Cross, Blue Shield. One is for hospitals, one is for doctor payment. And you have Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. Medicare Part A is how we pay hospitals, and Medicare Part B is how we paid doctors. And that was actually what the AMA demanded and negotiated to make sure that doctors get compensated in a separate way. And they insisted that doctor payments would be according to the regular acceptable pay schedule, which is one of the things that caused Medicare to be so inflationary initially when it passed. Because if the only thing that inhibits costs is whatever doctors are charging, and you charge wherever you want and the third party pays it, then obviously doctor payments increased enormously in the late 60s after the passage of Medicare. So I think, you know, initially few people provided care. Now a lot of people provide care. So doctors might have feelings that they prefer the word doctor. Personally, I like being called a doctor. I worked hard for this degree and I like it. I am a doctor. I just teach undergrads. I make them all call me doctor. But it's one thing to say I have a preference for a certain term, and a completely different thing to say, don't use this term. It's tainted by Nazi origins, which frankly is an insane thing to say. And I don't know how this has become a mainstream statement that people put out of their mouths.
Yeah, but it was like there was a pediatrician who put it in a blog post, and then it has taken off from there. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Falke, what is the historical context for where they are saying the origins of this term is from, and how do we correct them?
The blog posts took this idea that this has Nazi roots from an probably unfortunate mistranslation in a single essay from a decade and a half prior that focused on the plight of Jewish physicians under the Nazi regime. So the author of the blog post used that to denounce the term provider, but originally the term which was meant with this term provider, I mean, in German, the term Krankenbehandler was a newly coined concept by the Nazis, which has no relations to economic contexts or anything like that. But it was a term used to stigmatize Jewish physicians, and which was connected to the withdrawal of the license to practice as physician for Jewish people who had been Jewish physicians until then. And this was an act which was linked to the sort of a law or the regulation that the Jewish Krankenbehandler should only be allowed to treat Jewish patients. So it was a severe restriction of the potential activities of former physicians, and it was an act of discrimination and, in a way, persecution of Jews. part of an anti-Semitic and racist strategy, but it had no connection to any kind of economic contexts. Yeah, or it was completely devoid of any transactional nature.
And so what does that term Krankenbehandler translate to? It sounds like two terms, right? There's a lot of that in German where you take multiple words and you put them into one.
Kranker is a sick person, and Behandler would be someone who treats a sick person, or it's sick treater, if you want. It's a provider, which is a very unfortunate and actually not really fitting translation. And the other way around, if in Germany today, this American debates about providers are translated, or we talk about insurances providing healthcare and so on, then our physicians paid by insurances to provide healthcare, then we would not use the term Krankenbehandler, but some other term, which is much more sort of suitable. Actually, it would be un-German.
And what does that translate to?
It means provider.
Provider, okay. So completely different. So the word that they're saying, it's just wrong. They're just mistaken about it, right?
Yeah, it is very unfortunate.
Because it fits their narrative.
Yes. The original essay, which tried to summarize sort of the discrimination against Jewish physicians in Germany and bring that to the attention of English-reading physicians, it was not well informed, you might say.
So what's the problem there? Why don't we just let them have their mistaken translation and let them run with it? Like, what's the danger here?
Well, first of all, there's no connection to the sphere of economics, so it is a wrong in the original. So it's a completely inadequate reference to the Nazi period. There is no reference to the Nazi period in using the term provider. But the infamous thing is actually that the Nazi is to equate what happens to, in the context of the health insurance system in the US and the sort of transactional nature and so on and so on, to equate that to the persecution of Jewish physicians in Germany in the context of racism. And so this is completely absurd and it's inadequate. And the attributor is really the persecution of Jewish physicians and finally the Holocaust, if you want.
Michal, you were going to say something?
Yeah, and of course, physicians in the United States, although we often complain, we are actually held in very high stature here. We make a lot of money. We're perhaps the best paid physicians throughout the entire world. We have, you know, very secure jobs. We're a very powerful sector. And we're saying, poor me, I'm being persecuted in the same way. And it's kind of a ridiculous statement. And it does trivialize the Holocaust. It's almost, I think, borderline anti-Semitic to say, putting me in the same category as a physician assistant or a physical therapist, oh, that's the same thing as what they did to the Jewish doctors in Nazi Germany. And some people are truly making that argument. And one might have valid reasons to say, you know, I don't like the term provider, but this is absolutely not one of them. And why can't we let them have this? First of all, like, it's wrong. And I'm a history professor, and I really don't like when people are wrong. And it's truly wrong. So let's set the record straight. It also, as we say, trivializes the Holocaust. And it also weaponizes this discourse of thinking about the origins and thinking about racism and persecution of marginalized groups and turning it on its head. Because we are not marginalized groups as doctors, quite the opposite. And so, you know, at least when this essay came out, which was in 2019, the first blog post, it was in an era when people were exceptionally sensitive to marginalized people's terminologies and usage and trying to say, so I would say, oh, we don't like this term because it echoes Nazis. It's a form of racism and all the other isms that were at the forefront. And we risk diluting and losing support for this truly important work of kind of rooting out harm to marginalized people if we turn it on its head to make all kind of arguments that are false and in fact try to uplift people who are already in power. And it's a cynical use of an important thing that we still want to be able to do. We want to be able to avoid terms that are harmful to marginalized people. We want to be sensitive linguistically to people who might experience harm from our words, especially in this day and age when perhaps harming some groups becomes something that's more acceptable and we want to push back against that. But if we're taking part in this action of turning things on their head and saying, oh, doctors are the real people who are being marginalized and they're like, you know, this is provided, then we're causing harm to the movement. We're causing harm to the ability to be sensitive in this manner. I hope that makes sense.
So what you're saying is, by describing ourselves as a marginalized group, we are ultimately diluting the potency of the term a marginalized group, right? If you're calling everyone a marginalized group, then nobody's a marginalized group. And if we're calling ourselves that, in the same way that we're offended by the term provider, is diluting our expertise. So we are being hypocritical by doing this, because we are doing to that term what is being done to our term.
Right. And I think people say, oh, certain groups don't like being referred in certain ways, and we have to respect that. I actually heard somebody say that provider is like saying the N-word. Oh my gosh. No, it is not. And it's a cynical misuse of using these schemes that we think about, you know, marginalization and harm, to try to use that to talk about the words we refer to one of the most privileged group in the United States, physicians.
If you like this podcast episode, you're going to love the other shows over at the Doctor Podcast Network. For instance, The Purposeful MD. Dr. Laura Sutton, who was previously a guest on this show, helps you rediscover your passion with The Purposeful MD. She guides you through overcoming burnout and finding fulfillment in your medical career. It's time to practice medicine on your terms. Subscribe and embark on a journey to a more purposeful practice with The Purposeful MD. Yes, I mean, certainly the balance of power has changed. And now there's a lot of, you know, government policy that's being created and administrators that are taking away the power of the profession and the gravitas of what we do. And certainly we need to mobilize. And there are other ways to do that than using a flashpoint like this. So how have you heard any alternate terms floated that they would like to be, how physicians should be referred? Personally, I prefer the term physician over doctor, because you can get a doctorate. It makes you a doctor. But a physician is a lot more specific about who we are. But physician is not a protected term, but doctor is. And so there's a little issue. That's my personal, but yes, but there's provider's an umbrella term. So for the people who have pushed against that term, what have they floated?
Well, I've heard a lot of people, you know, say we want to reclaim doctor and physicians, but it doesn't come to the heart of the issue, which is we need one blanket or one umbrella term to talk about the diverse group of people who provide clinical services. And some people say, well, how about clinician? But clinician is often used in the mental health setting as the mental health clinician. Does it really matter? Have we solved all our problems that we have to sit now and talk about an alternative term? And I think it's actually, you know, it makes sense to me that physicians like to be called physicians. And they like to kind of highlight their expertise, and it's fine. But we still need one term to talk about all the people who provide care in a hospital setting, in a clinical setting, on people who bill insurance for their clinical services. And I don't see the harm in healthcare provider. I also like clinician, but that word has already
I think clinician
used.
Is more specific. Well, it's like someone who's patient-facing is a clinician. So like
right.
A physician scientist who ends up in the lab is less, you know, isn't as much of
a radiologist. I don't know what they call themselves, clinician. I truly don't know. I'm not trying to diss radiologists, but I don't think it's the point. And I think between the lines, what's being said is like physicians, we are not like other healthcare providers. And I don't think that's a tenable argument. We are not like them in some ways, and we are like them in other ways. And, you know, we can be proud of the expertise and unique training that we have as physicians. And we can also recognize that in the marketplace of healthcare, we provide a role and other people provide a role, and all that is paid for and is provided.
Well, I think the argument is scope creep, right? There's scope creep. And so this is the line that they're drawing in the sand. And ultimately, it's not the line to draw in the sand, right? There's scope creep. We counter that with lobbyists in the court, right? Like in order to maintain what we think is safe for patients, according to our expertise. I'm sorry, Falke, you wanted to say something?
Yes. I think one aspect we haven't really talked about yet, and as far as I see from distance, this whole discussion about provider is a part of a broader discussion about regulation of physicians. And the worries about physicians, sometimes physicians' organizations, that there's too much regulation, and this is connected to the term provider. And if there would be less regulation, more autonomy for physicians, then patient care would improve. I think this is, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the context. And I think there are so many other ways to improve trust in physicians than to push off the term provider. I think many potential activities which individual physicians or physicians' organizations could subscribe to improve the doctor-patient relationship and so on. But to focus on this use of the term provider, and I think it's completely misguided.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this in Germany as well, where you do have these, we call them advanced practice providers, like physician's assistants or nurse practitioners that are striving for more independence and trying to separate themselves and be able to practice independently from physicians and do more and more? And physicians are pushing against that, because that's a lot of where this argument is coming from.
Yeah, we have that, not extremely, I think, as in the States, but there is a tendency for nurses to be upgraded in their scope of action and so on. And physicians are trying to push against that. Yeah, that, so we have similar developments in general, and we have the age-old concern about hyper-regulation of physicians, which is sometimes really taking on ridiculous forms, I think. And in this context, you find that physicians are idealizing the past and trying to create the image or construct an image that in the past, physicians were not regulated. But there, as a medical historian, I can tell you there is no society and there is no age where physicians have not been regulated in some way or another. It's a complete fiction that there was an age of complete autonomy of the physicians and that governments have infringed on that. And yeah, the Nazi government was the example for the most extreme form of infringement on that. I think this is a completely distorted image.
So to wrap up, I want to ask both of you the same question, which is, let's say you're at a meeting, right? And someone is on the podium and they mention this bit of misinformation that we've been talking about today. Now you're the next one to go up on stage. Now, you might not want to say anything, but yet you might be also compelled to. Or afterwards, you want to go up to them at the meeting in order to correct. But you don't want to turn this into a prolonged discussion. So what is a really a concise way of correcting people when they come up that you would use?
Wow, that's a tough one, a concise one. I'll say, you know, there is actually no connection between the term provider to any Nazi era origins. It's a term rooted in the health insurance development. And I'm happy to send you my article that explained the whole history of that. So that's what I've been doing on the internet, on social media. I've been spamming every time somebody puts a Nazi thing. I was like, here's my link and it's open access. So people can read it and say, this is why it's not Nazi. But it's amazing how one 2019 blog has created a life of its own. And I want to flag another problem that it shows. It shows a problem in peer review in medical journals in fields that are not medicine. So after this pediatrician wrote this blog post, there are at least three or four articles that have been published in real journals, like the kind that, you know, that are published and are peer-reviewed and have PDFs and you can look at them on online, that make this ridiculous claim. And they cite both a blog post and the article from 10 years prior that has this unfortunate mistranslation. And it shows that if it's not perhaps a medical field, there's no oversight. People can just say whatever. And it passes peer review. I was absolutely appalled. And one of these articles had afterwards an errata that said, oh, the origins are not clear, but it's still not the right word. No, the origins are actually clear. You were wrong. That's what an errata is for. And, you know, and we should not be doing this. And so I think it's also a call for journals and their editors. Who is editing the perspective pieces that are allowing this to go through? And I have another kind of thing I want to make. You asked me for a short sentence and here I'm talking. No. I'm going to keep on going. I really want to say this, that it's amazing that doctors don't like the term provider because they think it dilutes their expertise. And doctors have expertise in doctoring. They don't have expertise in history. And almost all of the people who have been talking about this don't speak a word of German. Have they not looked in the mirror and asked themselves, why are they making these big claims about something they know absolutely nothing about? And if expertise is important, is it always important? It's important for doctors and it's important for historians. So don't make up historical things. If you're a journal editor, don't let a perspective piece make sweeping historical claims if you're not in a position to assess and evaluate them. we look like fools. We have an article that's in a peer-reviewed journal that's making ridiculous, unfounded, completely untenable claims. And you, the editor, just let this go by. So do we care about expertise? Would you let me as a historian do heart surgery? No. So why are you going and doing, you know, history? We all learn, we all have a job.
It drives us nuts when these influencers online and people in our government and potential surgeon generals are blasting out misinformation in areas where they are not experts. And then we end up doing that in the context of history. So suddenly we're not okay when people who are non-expert in our specialty claiming to putting out misinformation, and yet now we're doing the same as non-experts in history.
That is my pet peeve.
Yeah.
Yes, I completely underline that.
So Falke, same question for you. So if you ended up hearing this bit of misinformation out there, how do you pull someone aside and correct them? What's a concise way to do it? Although I would imagine it doesn't happen in a German-speaking country because it was all founded in mistranslation.
Yes, but if I were in the States and I would listen to someone talking about this kind of idea, then I would tell him, well, first of all, this has no connection with the use of the term provider with any kind of Nazi language. It's completely wrong translation. And I also would try to tell him that it's the kind of trivialization of the persecution of Jews in Germany and that finally the Holocaust. So not adequate. I mean, it is shameless, actually. And unreflected, at least, and naive. Or if it is intentional and in knowledge of the context, then it is famous.
I think this was a really comprehensive discussion on the topic. And if the listeners want to read the article, it's in the Journal of General Internal Medicine. The article is called Physicians or Providers, Inventing Nazi Origins Undermines Debates on Medical Professionalism. So I just want to thank you both so much for the time you took to put this article together and debunking misinformation and taking the time to speak to us today.
Thank you so much for having us, and we appreciate the opportunity to spread the word and correct the record.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening. I have a favor to ask. You listened to the episode until the end, which means either you fell asleep or you really liked the episode. So please write us a 5-star review, take a screenshot, and email it to me so I can send you a quick guide on how to earn patient trust in 20 seconds or less. Email me at brad@physiciansguidetodoctoring.com and feel free to suggest a topic or guest. I take your requests seriously. The views expressed on this episode are those of the interviewer and the interviewee and do not represent the views of their employer or even their significant other. Even though the magic of podcasting makes it sound like I'm talking directly to you, this is not a doctor-patient relationship, and this is not medical advice, or financial advice, or legal advice, or really any advice. Thanks again for listening to Succeed in Medicine.